Hey, teacher friends, I want to make sure that you know about my two children's books from the Caring Critters series, Felipe the Feeling Frog and Trixie the Thoughtful Turtle. These children's books are invaluable tools for teaching social-emotional skills in your classroom. In Felipe the Feeling Frog, kids walk alongside Felipe as he discovers that all feelings are okay, and he learns practical strategies for regulating his emotions. Felipe and his friends in the book help children identify and manage feelings like sadness, happiness, frustration, making emotional learning engaging and relatable. Then there's Trixie the Thoughtful Turtle, where Trixie explores the difference between expected and unexpected choices. Through her journey, children learn how to make thoughtful decisions that positively affect their friends and understand the importance of respectful behavior. Both books feature the charming illustrations of Denise Walker, which bring these important lessons to life in a way that kids can easily connect with. And they're written by me, a kindergarten teacher who understands the social-emotional needs of young students. Enhance your classroom with Felipe the Feeling Frog and Trixie the Thoughtful Turtle, and watch your students thrive in their social-emotional development with the Caring Critters series. Hey, teacher friends, it's Ziba from Kindergarten Cafe. And in today's episode, I want to talk to you about some tips and tricks I keep up my sleeve for keeping students engaged during lessons. Especially at the end of the year, we see that glazed over look a bit more than we did maybe at the beginning of the year. And my goal for today's episode is for you to add a couple new strategies into your toolbox that you can pull out and use when you see that glazed over look, when you see the kids are losing their attention and you just want to keep them engaged for one more minute of your lesson. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. When I am teaching my students and I start to see that they are losing engagement, losing interest, eyes are not looking up at me, distracted by something in their hands or on their clothes, or they're a little bit zoned out, then I pull out some of these strategies that I'm about to teach you. The first one that I try out is changing my volume. I will instantly get louder or I'll get softer. And that sudden change really gets their attention and their eyes start coming back up to me. They come back to the group. Their brain starts thinking about what I'm talking about again. It's a really quick fix to getting their attention back. And we sometimes forget when we're teaching our lesson, especially I find for myself, if I'm teaching a lesson I don't know very well, a lesson from a curriculum book that's more scripted, I tend to lose those natural cadence tone shifts and volume changes that I would have if I was sort of doing it on my own or on the fly or just having a conversation. So pulling those out instantly adds some engagement to my students. It's especially helpful when the volume change is at like a really important part of what you're teaching, or getting softer is a really helpful if you notice that other people might be chit-chatting and you want to get everyone's attention back and for them to stop talking, because if you're getting quiet, then they can't hear you and so they have to stop talking. So that's a good strategy when giving directions, wanting to refocus the group. And we want to think about it too, like I keep coming back to the teacher in Charlie Brown, where you just hear wah, 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 wah. And for our students that have been with us all year at this point, and we've been teaching them all year in the same kind of way, and especially towards the end of the day, towards the end of the year, they really start to hear us as the wah, 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 wah. And so anytime that we can do anything to sort of kick them out of that and actually hear what we have to say, we can re-engage them and we can get them refocused. So that quick volume change to go loud or soft, I I do apologize if I was too loud. If you're listening in headphones, I'm sorry. But that quick volume change is a really good way to refocus their attention and grab their attention again. Another strategy that you can try that's similar is to change the speed of your conversation, your lesson. So either going really slow or really, really fast when you're talking to them can be an instant engagement piece. And I would use it specifically when you're talking about things that match that, that match going slow, or that if I'm, you know, acting out sort of what a student might be thinking, like if I'm pretending to be upset or pretending to be really excited, I'll start going really, really fast. I won't do this when I need them to understand every single word I'm saying, but I will do it when I want to grab their attention again. And then I will bring it back at a normal speed when I'm ready to refocus them again. So for example, if we're teaching about the life cycle, for example, the life cycle of the chicks, right? And I'll say, so then the egg grows into the chick, and the chick grows into the hen, and then the hen lays the egg, and then the egg becomes the chick, and then the chick becomes the hen, and then the hen lays the egg, and then the egg becomes the chick, and then the chick becomes the hen, and then the hen becomes the egg, the lays the egg, and then, and I'm going over and over and over again in the cycle to emphasize my point that it's a cycle, that it repeats. I get them to laugh, I get them refocused, and it's engaging. But that piece of me going really, really fast, I didn't need them to hear and understand each individual thing because I had already said it once, and then it was emphasizing the point that it's a cycle. So adding in those speed changes, instant engagement piece, but I would use it when it makes sense. Anytime that we can sing our words instead of talking will instantly take them out of that wah, 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 wah kind of mindset. And I do this especially with directions, because after a lesson, they've heard me talk the whole time, and now it's time for them to really listen to what they're about to do. So I'll start singing the directions. And anytime you change up your voice in that way, it's instant engagement. And I love to do it to the tune of Frère Jacques, because I just find that easy to manipulate really anything that I need into that tune. But also it has the kids repeating. And repeating what you say is also a huge engagement strategy. And I'll do this with both like a chanting and a singing, sing-songy voice. So, you know, for the directions, I might sing, go to your desks. And then they would sing, go to your desks quietly. Quietly, wait for your papers, with a pencil. And so they're repeating after me. It's sing-songy. It's different than what they're used to hearing, instantly engaging. Or maybe I change whatever teaching point I'm trying to get across to them. I might sing it instead and just add a little tune to it so that they're really clicking with that. If I'm doing the repeat after me, that's more like chanty. I have my kids used to repeating. Anytime I say first, they repeat first, and they know that that's the signal I want them to repeat the directions. First, first, go to your seats, go to your seats. Second, second, wait for a paper, wait for the paper. Third, third, write your name, write your name. And so whatever it is that I want, I will have them repeat after me. I break it down into very simple steps and very simple language. The other thing that I like to add in is actions that the kids can do. So if I say first, go to your desks, I might act out like with my fingers walking to the desks. Or if I say get a pencil, I might act out writing with the pencil, especially for cutting, gluing, all this sorting. You know, I always add an action because I want kids to have multiple ways of hearing the directions, understanding the directions, you know, just really making sure they understand. And by having them repeat the directions, I can see which students are repeating the words and which aren't. And so I know who's not listening and who do I need to check in with, because they're not going to understand the directions. The other thing that you can do when you're teaching your lessons and you're wanting it to be more engaging because you see them checking out, add some drama into your instruction. It might feel weird at first. It might feel awkward at first. And I kind of talked about this in a previous episode about teaching students who are English language learners, but we really do want to act out what we're teaching as much as we can so that kids have a visual to what we're saying. If you can add actions in and have them add actions, that's awesome. even though it feels awkward maybe at first for you to be a little bit more dramatic, it really is engaging for the kids and it's not awkward for them. And so remember that. You're not doing this for other teachers. They're not in the room watching you, judging you. You're just doing it in front of a bunch of five-year-olds. And they really do need that increased engagement, that little dramatization of what you're reading or what lesson you're teaching them. And so when I am reading and I notice that they're kind of checking out a little bit, or if I'm doing a lesson and I'm noticing them checking out a little bit, I'll instantly want to add in an action for them. So I'll say, you know, if we're reading Goldilocks and the Three Bears, oh, she found the porridge. Oh, show me a small porridge bowl, everyone. Show me your small porridge bowl. Ooh, give it a smell. Mmm, smells good, right? Okay, let's take a bite. Everyone take a bite. Ooh, too hot, too hot. Everyone say too hot. And I have them say too hot. And so they're acting it out with me. They're acting out the story. They're engaged. They're repeating the words. They're saying the words. They are so hooked in that it's just a great thing to bring out when you see those eyes start to glaze over. And you can do it with anything. It's easy in a book, I think, because the book is sort of narrating for the kids what they should be doing and what the characters are doing. And you can see it in the pictures. Adding in that action or adding in that talk is a great way to work on the comprehension of the book and the vocabulary of the book. But you can do this in your lessons too. So if I'm teaching about place value and I'm talking about 10 and 4, when I'm talking about these numbers, if I see them starting to glaze over and I'm saying, okay, what does 10 and 4 make? I'll say, what is 10? Show me 10. And I want them to show me 10 on their fingers. Okay, and what is 4? Show me 4. Oh, I see 4 fingers. 10 and 4 is, ooh, put a thumb on your knee if you know what the answer is, or turn and talk to your partner and tell them what the answer is. That brings me to another strategy, which is turn and talk. And I'm sure most of you are already utilizing this, but I do think that if you're noticing kids are checking out more and more and more during your lessons and you're really needing to re-engage them a lot, you might be doing too much of the talking. And it's really important to get the kids talking as much as possible because they are all engaged if they are talking and sharing with their partner. And so turn and talk is a great way to get them all re-engaged and get them all talking. And it's a great reminder for us too that we should share the microphone, that they have to be doing some of the talking as well. Especially if you're noticing issues with kids being extra chatty and extra talkative, giving them more chances to talk is really important because when they're talking with each other at times when they shouldn't be talking, they're telling you that they really need time to talk. They really need time to chat. So giving them that time during your lesson will not only re-engage them, but it will also fill their need for more conversation with their peers. So when you notice them starting to check out, is there a place where you could add in a turn and talk? Is there a question you could have them share? Even if you're just saying, okay, turn and talk to your partner and tell them what you just learned that I taught you. Go ahead. And then you can have them share and share a couple examples. Or even if they weren't quite spot on, you could say, well, I heard some students say that they learned that nonfiction books are teaching books. That means that they are true stories. They are true information. Great. That is the point of the lesson today, that nonfiction books are true and they are teaching books. Wonderful. Even if you didn't actually hear someone say it, you can say, I heard someone say. But it still gives them all that chance to talk with each other and refocus. And it gives the children a chance to take more of the ownership of the learning. Because if you're doing all the heavy lifting, if you're doing all the talking, then they are going to check out because they're going to realize they don't have to participate. They don't have to do the work. You're going to do it for them. You're going to be talking to them. So all of these ideas that I gave are for quick re-engagement strategies are perfect things to pull out as needed. But if you're having to use them a lot all the time, I think it's a good idea to look at who's doing the bulk of the work during the lesson. And if you're doing all the talking, then it might be a good chance for you to rethink your structure of your lessons and find ways to add in for the children to do more of the talking. Can you have them share what they notice and wonder about an image, about an example? Can you have them turn and talk about adding on ideas or making connections to what you said? Can you have them add in actions to what you're talking about? Can you have them repeat the important learning goal of the lesson or repeat the directions to you? Find ways to incorporate them into the lesson as well. So Those ideas were just a little repeat to change the volume when you're noticing them getting glazed over and not fully engaged. Change the volume to loud or soft. Change the speed, fast or slow. Sing your lesson or directions. Have the children repeat after you when you're giving directions. Dramatize your expressions, dramatize the lessons, having the kids act out as well, act out a piece of your lesson or the story, and having them take more ownership of the lessons, talk more during the lessons, letting them turn and talk to their partner. So if you liked those suggestions and you're going to use some, I would love to know how they go for you in your classroom. And if you have more suggestions to add, send me a DM, let me know, and I can do a part two of keeping kids captivated during lessons, keeping kids engaged, and refocusing them. My quote of the day comes from the end of the year where kids are losing their engagement a little bit. And a boy, it's not a great quote of the day. The boy just goes, 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Boogers! And I just go, no, thank you. Probably could have said something more specific, but I will definitely remember being thrown off by that because I was not expecting the child to say boogers. And that is so classical end of the year kind of nonsense. So anyway, those are my re-engagement strategies. Hope you enjoy and send me a DM and let me know which one you tried and how it worked. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.